Our main purpose today is to see Mary's humble obedience and her faith to the Word of God so that it builds up our faith. Now, we've read about Zechariah's response to Gabriel. We've read about Elizabeth's response to a child in her old age, that they would have a son named John, and he would go ahead of Jesus to call Israel to repentance and to prepare the way for the Lord. And we pick up the story today in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And we're told that she isolated herself for the first 5 months. So it's likely that Mary, her young relative, didn't even know that Elizabeth was with child. And of course, we told last week the story of Mary and Elizabeth meeting up and talking about it. But what we're going to read today actually comes before that. And Luke's chronology is right. I just saved today's message, or saved this message for today, because I wanted to tell Mary's story today, the Sunday before Christmas. This is the story of the announcement and the calling of Mary from God's Word. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in Galilee, a little town in Galilee, and to a virgin who was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, now Mary was troubled by that greeting and didn't really understand what it meant. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will rule over the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin? I've not been with a man." Gabriel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to not be able to conceive, is in her sixth month, because no word from the Lord will ever fail. And Mary said to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. It's a short story the way Luke tells it. A little encounter, a brief conversation with Gabriel, who we know from a previous story stands at the throne of God, not just any old angel. But this time Gabriel did not come to the temple. He went to Nazareth, Mary's hometown in Galilee. And Luke makes sure that we know Mary was a virgin. He tells us three times in this brief story that she was a virgin. She had never been with a man. She was pledged to be married to Joseph. And in their day, that was a legal arrangement. But she wasn't even living with Joseph yet. They had not consummated the marriage. And her question is reasonable. And he throws in there this bit about Matthew being a descendant of King David, because the prophets had spoken that the Messiah would come in the lineage of King David. He would receive the throne, the holy throne of Israel, and his kingdom would never end. Look at verse 28 again, if you're reading along there, where it says, "You who are highly favored." Another way of translating that is rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. And the word translated there for favored one is related to the word grace. It has the same root. It's grace. You one who has received grace from God. And be sure that you understand that Mary has received this favor as an act of God's grace. It's God's grace at work here. Mary is the recipient of grace. She is not the dispenser of grace. It's not Mary's work. It's God's work. And notice that the promise of the Lord's presence. He is with you. This is similar language to many Old Testament stories when a person received God's favor and were being selected for a particular purpose. God was calling them to a big job. You see this formula all over the Bible where an angel shows up or a messenger of God says, "Don't be afraid. God is with you." And I want you to know that formula still happens. The word from God says to us, "Do not be afraid. God is with you." And we see that all throughout Scripture that when a human agent is chosen for a divine purpose such as this, we have these promises. This kind of selection always comes with divine protection and resources and power. God spoke similar messages to Isaac and Jacob, and even to old Gideon when God chose him for a big job. "Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you." Now we see that Mary's troubled by all this. She's confused. She's perplexed. It's no small matter. An angel showed up and announced that she, a young, very young woman probably, had been selected to be God's instrument, to bear the Son of God. That's quite a lot to take in. What is this? What's going on? And Gabriel immediately reassured her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Here's the plan. You will conceive in your womb, you will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. Simple enough. Conceive, give birth, call him Jesus. There you go. Take off with that. There's the plan. But it had to be mind-blowing. You can understand Mary saying, "How can this be? Since I've not been with a man? How will this happen?" It's not that far from Zechariah's question, but Gabriel's very patient with her, understandably so, and explains more how this is going to work. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Gabriel gave her confirmation. He's given her a call, and she had legitimate questions, and he's given her confirmation and explanation. And he said, "Here's a sign that will help you. Your relative, Elizabeth, who's way past childbearing age, she's with child. She's in her sixth month. Because God said so, and God's word never fails." And the part all this is leading up to is Mary's response. Mary heard the Lord's message from Gabriel, the angel who stands by the throne. I think her mind is still spinning. She's heard the explanation and the affirmation, and then she says, "Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That's how it says it in the English Standard Version. And then what we read in the NIV says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." "Here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. May your word be done in me." I think that statement of faith is one of the best in all of Scripture. I'm yours. Do whatever you want to do. I think every one of us have to come to God with that kind of attitude. "Lord, I want to be your servant. Do whatever that you wish. Whatever will, whatever word you have for my life, Lord, would you do it? I submit. I'm giving you my life." And this young woman, in a big time in her life and this confusing message, and she says, "Behold, the servant of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said." You see, a servant's identity is always linked to their master. Whose servant will you be? To whom will you submit? Whose identity will become yours? What if we do not submit to the Word of God? What happens? What if Mary had not submitted to this message? Does God just find someone else to do the job? He probably will. But know that your refusal is sin. It's disobedience. We know from Genesis that people lived in perfect peace, in a perfect place, in perfect relationship with God until the day that they decided to go a different route, to go their own way. Said, "Lord, we're going to try this." A direct violation of God's command to them. And the result of that is that the earth was cursed, the people were cursed, and everything changed. And we inherit a sin nature, so that we just naturally go away from God. Isaiah said we all go our own way. Like sheep, we've all gone astray. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Even in a corrupt world and corrupt people, God still calls us to obedience. And this whole story about Jesus coming as a baby is the story of his redemption. It is the way that God chose to allow us to be reconciled to him, to come back into relationship with him, and to be empowered by his Holy Spirit and live a life of obedience. Do you see the blessing that Mary received because she obeyed? She became the mother of the Messiah. She physically bore the Son of God who would come and save his people from their sin. His restorative work has begun, and yet the world has not returned to shalom, to that perfect peace. But he is coming again to restore his kingdom and to claim his church. Until then, we have choices to make. Will we obey God? Will we obey the written word of God? Will we obey the Holy Spirit who moves us to accept the task that God has laid out for us? If we obey, we come into position of receiving his blessing. If we disobey, we live in sin. We remove ourselves from the place of his blessing. And God wants all of us to live in peace. He didn't say it would be easy. He said, I will give you peace. I will enable you to go through the storms. I will empower you. And you only need to look at your back trail to see that this happens. When you were not living right and you were running from the Lord, you know things weren't right. Things were hard and it got worse. But in those times where you were walking with the Lord as you know you should and as God has called you, you see that even in the troubles, you could do it. You had the power and the peace to sustain, to move forward, to do good. It's God's plan. He wants all of us in that relationship with him. And we need to respond just like Mary. I want you to meditate on those words this week. And when I say meditate, I don't mean sit cross-legged and hum. I mean just think about these words. Just let those words come over in your mind. We've used the word ruminate for that. You know, chew it over and over. Lord, I'm your servant. May your word be done in me. I hope that you just use that as a prayer this week and let it shape your will. Let it form your nature so that any time and every time the Lord calls on you, you say, yes, I'm ready. Let's go. And here we are in the week of Christmas. And some of you have not yet submitted to the Lord. You haven't been willing to walk away from your sinful ways and to ask the Lord for forgiveness and ask for his grace to save you. Well, there's no better day than today to do that. We're going to sing in just a little bit, and we want to give you a time to respond to the Lord. Randy and Chris, y'all come ahead. Others of you, God is calling to specific tasks, and you know something's going on, and you're resisting. Stop resisting. Just say yes. We have men in Lesotho because they said yes. We have people going to Guatemala because they said yes. We have people going to the Czech Republic because they said yes to what the Lord was calling them to do. We have people teaching in Gymned school system because they said yes. I'll go to that mission field. We have mechanics and carpenters and electricians and child raisers. Because you said yes. And what mission field has God called every parent to? To raise those kids to love God. That is your mission. Say yes. And then follow through. This story is punctuated by a little simple sentence. And the angel left her. Because there was nothing else to say. Her response was complete. Her commitment was complete. And the next thing we see from Mary is she's headed down to see Elizabeth. She wants to see God's word at work. And she puts feet to her faith and goes. And she's blessed again. Will you come to him today? We're going to sing another Christmas hymn and we'll use it as an invitation. for you to come to the Lord. There's no better day than today. Come.